Welcome back to His Time. It is Friday, May 9th, and it is time for Creation Club with Pastor Warren Worth. Good morning, Pastor Worth. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I am well. How are you?
Oh, doing great, great, great. What is first up on our lineup for Creation Club this morning?
Well, the first thing I'd like to do is make an announcement regarding the Missouri Association for Creation. They're having their monthly meeting on Monday, May 12th. That will be at the Family Vision Library at 2020 Parkway Drive in St. Peters, Missouri. At 6:30 p.m., they'll see a video called The Flood Geology. And then at 7:30, they have the main presentation, Understanding Secular Geology, Its Roots, Ramifications, and Current Trends. The speaker is Bill Barnes, who has worked as a material scientist for 15 years in the defense and aerospace industries and is very interested and very knowledgeable on this topic. So, again, those who live in the St. Louis area, greater St. Louis area, Monday, May 12, 6:30 p.m. is the video, 7:30 is the main presentation of the Missouri Association for Creation at Family Vision Library, 2020 Parkway Drive, St. Peters, Missouri, 63376.
Very good, very good. And always great stuff covered at those meetings.
That's true. They're very helpful and very knowledgeable people, and we are grateful to have them in our area as resources.
Well, just a minute ago when we were listening to Answers in Genesis from Ken Ham, we heard him talking about Mother's Day coming up this week, but going back to Genesis, I understand that Dr. David Adams has a paper on the historicity of Genesis and the account of creation.
Absolutely, and that's what I'd like to talk about in the remainder of our time this morning, and there's not really time to do it justice, but we'll kind of whet your appetite. I attended yesterday a day of exegetical reflection at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. Exegesis, for those who are listening and may not understand the term, exegesis has to do with Bible interpretation. So it's reading out of the text the meaning there, as opposed to eisegesis, where you're going to read into the text ideas that are not in the text, but your own ideas that you want to force upon a text. So exegesis is what we're taught at the seminary, so we can read from the Bible the meaning that God, the author, put there for us to understand. The Day of Exegetical Reflection this year had the overall theme, Listening to God's Word in the 21st Century, and it involved papers from some of our St. Louis Seminary faculty who had presented papers in Oberursel, Germany last fall. In November of 2013, there was a high-level conference of scholars, Bible scholars from around the world that presented papers, and four of our exegetes, Bible scholars from Concordia St. Louis also presented papers at that conference, and then we got to hear those papers after they've been a little bit, people responded to them, and there's been refinement of what they presented in Germany as they presented the papers here, but very good and very interesting to hear them all. The one that I particularly wanted to talk about today was a lecture entitled Some Reflections on the Historicity of the Biblical Creation Account by the Reverend Dr. David Adams, who is Associate Professor of Exegetical Theology, especially Old Testament exegesis at Concordia Seminary, St. Louis. This paper explores what is distinctive about the biblical creation account when compared to that of Israel's ancient Near Eastern neighbors. It demonstrates that the biblical creation account presents not only a distinctive understanding of creation, but also a distinctive understanding of the nature of God. It concludes by exploring the question of what is at stake, theologically speaking, if the biblical creation account is not true in the literal historical sense. And so that kind of should whet your appetite. And I should also mention before we would run out of time that Dr. Adams' paper and those of the others will be available through the Concordia Seminary website, where they have iTunes U, where mm-hmm. you can listen to recorded versions, and the paper versions will be coming out, I believe, in a book form at some point, too. If you want more information about that, you can contact Dr. Adams or Dr. James Veltz at the seminary, Concordia Seminary, St. Louis, for more information about how to obtain copies of these papers. Meanwhile, let's kind of get to the gist of what was talked about. You know, many of us, if we were in high school or college and took a course on ancient history or comparative religion or something like this, had heard our teachers, our instructors, our professors mock Christianity and the Bible by saying that the ancient Near Eastern cultures, other ancient Near Eastern cultures like Mesopotamian cultures or Egyptian, already had stories like those in the first chapters of Genesis, stories about creation, stories about a flood, and that the Israelites, the Hebrews, basically stole the stories about creation and the flood and so forth from these other cultures and adapted them to their own God. But basically, it's the same old mythology from these other surrounding ancient Near Eastern cultures that just got stolen or borrowed and adapted by the Hebrews. It's nothing true. It's all mythology. Therefore, ha, 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 don't believe this stuff. Well, Dr. Adams' paper really is very good to show that while there are some points of similarity, there are many, many important differences between the biblical account of creation, the flood, and so on, and the stories that are told in these other cultures. And those differences are significant. They're radically different, actually, is what he says. And his paper, I think, is very good at pointing these things out. So when we compare the Genesis account with the myths of other ancient people in the Near East, such as Egypt and Mesopotamia, we find that the Genesis account is radically different. For example, the other accounts really are accounts of where their gods came from. They're not really focusing mainly on where the world came from and so forth, although they touch upon those things too. The accounts in these other religious stories about origins are really about where their gods came from. Their gods did not pre-exist. Their gods came from something. And so the thing that was before even their gods was chaos, kind of a watery chaos that's sort of the uncreated source from which everything comes, including their gods that arose out of that. That's a significant thing. You know, in the Bible, what do we understand? You know, from the very beginning, you see that God is the always existing one, and that God made everything that exists, including the watery chaos that's described in the opening verses of Genesis 1, from which then God forms other things. So that's a significant difference right there. Plus, then in these other stories from Egypt and the Mesopotamia, they're fantastic stories. I mean, by fantastic, I mean like wild, crazy, fantasy. You have male and female deities, and they mate and produce yet other deities of various kinds, and they do battle with one another. You know, the deities of these cultures, Egypt and Mesopotamia and so forth, are like people. So the characteristics are very, very like, very much like us. Very flawed, jealous, angry, conniving, cheating on each other and fighting each other and so forth. So basically, you can see that people spun these things out of their own imaginations. It's pretty clear. And so you have gods fighting each other and stabbing each other and chopping each other into little bits and then turning this into a stars over here or something over there. And human beings ultimately get created too, either from the blood or the semen of one of the gods that gets killed by somebody else. And it's just wild. You know, when you read the Genesis account of creation, it's sober by comparison, very much so.
Well, you've got the makings of a good TV series, I think.
Are you talking about with their wild, wild creation stories, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if somebody wanted to take the mythology of Babylon or Egypt and turn that into a TV series, they would have a lot of fun with that. But the Genesis account of creation is quite sober. You know, so instead of some wild battle of the gods with stabbing and cutting and chopping into pieces and you know, turning this body part into something else or this blood into something else. There's wild pictures in these Babylonian and Egyptian stories. In the Bible, you know, God said, and there was, let there be, and there was. And when you get to the stars, you know, he made the sun, you know, the greater light to govern the day, the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. It's simple, straightforward, sober, not wild fantasy like these other things. Several other important distinctions here. You know, he pointed out that the gods in these religions are not distinct from the material creation or cosmos. They're really part of it and manifest themselves in it. So you have, you know, the god that is the sun in the sky, the moon, the stars, the ones that control the oceans or the weather or fertility and the mountains and things like this. The gods are you know, the material stuff and the divine stuff are kind of mixed together in that chaos in the beginning and also then in what comes out of it, as opposed to creation where, in the Bible, where God is distinct from his material creation. He pre-exists before creation. It, creation comes from his divine word. He speaks, and it is so. And the concept of everything, you know, God makes everything good, and, you know, according to his word, and when he's done, everything is very good. And also that it leads up then to a time when God rests. His work of creation is complete, and he rests. So that's a distinctive thing in the Genesis account of creation. The ancients in Babylon and Egypt, for example, didn't have a concept of their gods being outside of and separate from the created material world. They had no concept of the Sabbath rest that is central to the Genesis account of creation and also to the religion of the Hebrews and the New Testament as well. The whole idea of Sabbath and rest is a key theological concept that's rooted in creation. The ancient Egyptians and Babylonians in their stories didn't have a conception of a perfect creation and then a fall into sin and then redemption, restoration, and so forth. There's no idea of telos, that is a goal or end of it all. You know, that things are leading to, you know, this final goal, which for us, you know, is eternal life with the God who created us, you know, paradise restored and renewed and refreshed because of God who redeemed us. And likewise, the stories from Babylon and Egypt don't have the same temporal aspect in their creation stories. You know, the Genesis account is unique in this. You know, God did this, and that there was evening and morning day one, and God did this, and there was evening and morning day two, and God did something more, and he said, let there be, and this happened, and God saw that it was good, and there was, you know, evening and morning day three, all the way through the 6 days of creation, and then on the seventh day, God rested. Likewise, the creation of man in the Genesis account of creation is completely distinct from other ancient stories of where man came from. You know, that man is created in the image of God, and, you know, is given dominion, is God-like, you know, let us make man in our image after our likeness. This is absolutely unique and very different from other stories where, you know, the gods make human beings to be slaves who will work so that they don't have to work, and then who get fed up with people because they make too much noise, when there gets to be too many of them and want to, you know, destroy them and so forth. It's just the difference is really night and day. And so I, you know, for those of you who heard way back when you were in school, or who have children or grandchildren who are currently going through school and come home telling you, well, you know, I learned at school today that the Bible is not true and the stories of creation and the flood were just stolen from the Babylonians and the Egyptians, you know, they need to sit down and hear the rest of the story, which you can find through Dr. Adams' excellent paper or also through Answers in Genesis and sources like this. But, you know, Dr. Adams went on not only to talk about the similarities and differences in the creation accounts themselves, but the importance of it. Why is this important for Israel's theology and practice, and also for Christianity? And he points out, you know, that here, already in Genesis, you see that there's only one God, one true God, who is above all, who's the source of all, who's separate from the material cosmos. And that ties in then to what the rest of the Bible says when it prohibits idolatry, graven images, practicing magic, and so forth. The importance of the understanding of holiness and sin, and that sin is the cause of suffering and death that come as a result of mankind's fall into sin, disobeying God, and then yet God's grace in it all, that this almighty God is also merciful, and he promised and in the fullness of time sent his Son to be our Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior, who redeemed us from our iniquity by shedding his blood. And isn't it amazing that he enters into creation? You know, the one who is the Creator then comes into creation, is born of a virgin, lives, suffers, dies on a cross, you know, dies for his sinful creatures. I mean, that's a mind-boggling concept. Rises from the dead so that he might restore fallen creation and that we might enter into that eternal Sabbath rest with our Creator. It's astounding.
Amen. Absolutely. Very good. Well, Pastor Wirth, we'll check in again next week.
Absolutely. We look forward to it.
God's blessings.
God bless you.